I mean, listen to this. You ready? This is how my week's been going. Okay, here it is. Theodore Roosevelt, okay? Here's a quote. "Far better is it to dare mighty things, to win glorious triumphs, even though checkered by failure, than to rank with those poor spirits who neither enjoy much nor suffer much, because they live in the gray twilight that knows no victory nor defeat." I mean, doesn't that just get you like, woo? If it doesn't you, I'm sorry. It does me. I get really excited when I see stuff like that and I start reading stuff like that. So I go to bed last night. Everything's exciting. I can't wait for this morning. And on top of that, listen to this. I have 4 children, right? 3 of them slept over at somebody else's house last night. So I'm like, oh, this is so incredible. And my little one, the baby, he stays home. Now, the really cool thing about Cole right now is that he sleeps through the night. I mean, you put him to bed at 8:30, and unless it's a very unusual night that he wakes up maybe once or twice, he generally just sleeps on through until about 7 o'clock, and it's just really awesome. Hope, on the other hand, you guys all know Hope well, she's in this new kind of habit where she will get up in the middle of the night, and she'll lay in her bed, and instead of just getting up and going to the potty, she'll lay in her bed and go, "Daddy!" And I already know. I'm just going to walk in the room and go, "Yes, I need to go potty. You can go. Thank you." She'll go. I'll go to bed. I'm just like, seriously? Get up. Do it. Don't tell me. I don't need to know. So last night, I'm like, I don't have to deal with that. That's awesome. And then Hope generally comes into our room now at about 5 a.m. It's just kind of what she does. And she wants to get in bed with us. And we're like, look, maybe you don't know that the sun's not up, but we sure do. And so we're trying to get her back into getting into that bed and staying there. So I go to bed last night thinking, this doesn't get any better. It doesn't get any better. I've got the Sunday ahead of me with all these great things I got to tell you guys, and I've got my children sleeping over at a friend's house, and Cole's going to sleep, and Brooke and I are there, and it's just wonderful. And we go to bed a little earlier than usual, and we're laying there, and we're going to get a good night's sleep. Cole woke up, I'm not even exaggerating, 7 times last night. 7! No. You think I'm exaggerating. I'm not. 7 times. About the 5th time, I said to Brooke, we will never again talk about Cole sleeping through the night, because yesterday on our way home, we were talking about 2008, we were talking about our marriage, and we're just saying, you know, this is a great year to invest in our marriage because Cole is sleeping through the night. So we're no longer exhausted, and we're no longer irritable all the time. And so we can really just, like, enjoy one another. And lo and behold, you know how it goes. You say it, and then suddenly, 7 times. 7. So I wake up this morning, as you can imagine, you know, I wake up, Brooke's in bed, and she goes, I'm going to have Cole from 7:45 when you leave until I go to church. Would you mind just, because it's 6, he woke up at 6:30, wide awake. Ding, hi, I want to play. So she goes, Would you mind just taking him downstairs for at least 30 minutes so I can just group myself before I have to deal with that? And I'm like, of course. So I'm downstairs. Cole's playing. I'm sitting there at 6:30 in the morning going, you know what? I feel about as excited right now to share with the church as, let's see, I can't even think of an example because there's nothing as unexciting about that. Isn't it amazing how disappointment can come in and suck the vision right out of you? You just suck the life out of you, you know. You're all gung-ho, and then disappointment shows up, and you just go, and you just deflate, and you just go, 2008, whoop-dee-doo. So, this morning, I'm here to tell you that I am not going to allow that disappointment to change a thing. I'm going to jump right out of Cole's life and right into the lives of my other 3 children for a second, because my other 3 children, they do this wonderful thing recently that I just absolutely love. We drive in the car. Hope sits in the back, and then Cullen sits next to her, and Hadley sits here, and Cole sits here. And we'll be driving down the road in the car, and they've got this new thing where they'll just go like this. They'll say to me, Dad, can we put the wings out? That's all that it's like. It's like a code word. Can we put the wings out? And then I go, well, guys, we're on 27, and we're going 60 miles an hour. It's not a good time for the wings. They're like, come on, Dad, the wings. I'm like, okay, when we turn into the neighborhood, I want one of you to shout, wings out, and I'll put the wings out. So what we do is we drive, and as soon as we turn into the neighborhood, one of the kids will inevitably go, wings out, Dad. And as soon as the wings come out on the car, the 4 wheels lift just off the ground. They just come just off the ground enough that the car starts, you know, doing the whole wind thing. It's really, really cool. You should check it out. And so I push the button. The wings shoot out of the side of the car. You feel the car kind of lift off. It gives a little bit of an extra push. and then suddenly it starts weaving back and forth, just weaving like this. And it's really hard to control. It's more like a helicopter than an airplane because it's really bulky and it isn't very aerodynamic. And so we fly, and the kids in the back, they just start going nuts. I mean, they love it. They're like, oh my gosh. And inevitably, one of them will say it, usually Hope. She goes, Dad, are we really off the ground? Just like that. And there is a very fine line between truth and lies. And right in the middle of that fine line is what I call imagination, right? And so I usually pull this one. I go, Hope, what do you think? And she goes, yes! And I go, well, there you go. I mean, the car's swerving, it's really bad. And if it gets too rough, if the wind comes up too high, I usually go, guys, we've got to put the wings in, it's getting too rough. And I put them in, and suddenly the wheels just settle down back on the ground and everything becomes stable. And it's just really, really awesome. You know, it's so funny to me when we're in the car, because sitting here, you sit there, and you, in the back of your mind, you go, well, we all know. There are no wings on the car, and the car doesn't take off, and the wheels don't leave the ground. Well, it just goes to show how little you know. Because here's the deal. In my car, when we're driving, there is this amazing thing that happens when we as human beings, especially children, but we as adults can do it too, where we are willing to look past the ordinary, past the mundane, past the everyday, and we can look past all of that and we can start imagining bigger things, start imagining better things. And you know, when we step into that world of going past what we see, past the ordinary, and we start realizing what is beyond that, then suddenly the invisible becomes visible. And suddenly the impossible becomes possible. And suddenly cars can fly. And things get exciting. And life becomes so much more than a drive from the grocery store to the house. And you know what the funny thing is? The funny thing is that we of all people, we the church, we Christ followers, have every reason in the book to look past the ordinary. Because instead of having to use our imaginations and pretend that four wheels lift off the ground, we can look past the ordinary right into the world where God exists, right beyond the ordinary. A world where He says He is ever present with us. A world where He says He is constantly, intentionally taking care of us. A world where He says He is unfolding a plan in our lives beyond our wildest dreams. A world where God says there are angels protecting and watching and working for the expansion of God's kingdom. And we get to live in that world because they live in our world. The only difference is that they are invisible to the ordinary eye. But they are not invisible to those of us that begin to take truth and to stand on it. This morning, what I want to do is I want to take a look past the ordinary. I want to take a look past the mundane, the everyday, and I want to look into our story for 2008. I want to look past today, and I want to look into tomorrow for about 10 minutes. And I just want to take you on a journey with me. I want to unpack for you my mind, my imagination, my thoughts for this coming year so that you, the church, can walk with me into it so that I'm not walking by myself. This year is an incredibly exciting year for us. Tomorrow is Christmas Eve. And then as we blast this place out, the dance floor is right here in front of me, and we have a great time in the fireworks show. It's coming, yes it is, and all that stuff. As we enter into 2008 together, we look into a year that has so much promise and so much waiting for us. You know, Mosaic Church this last year has come a long, long way, and there's no need for us to look back because most of you have been around to see a lot of that. But in 2008, if you think 2007, we've come a long way, wait until you hear about our story in 2008. Because in 2008, we're going to step into a whole new world. There are several arenas in 2008 that we have been laying foundation for in 2007 that we get to watch actually come to fruition in 2008 that we are extremely excited about. Mosaic Church, if you call this your home, if this is your church and you say, I share in this church, well, let me tell you what our story is going to look like in 2008. First of all, we are extremely dedicated to making sure in 2008 that you and I are grounded in every possible way so that we can walk with a faith that isn't unstable, And a faith that isn't blind, but a faith that is stable and solid, and a faith that understands and knows where it's coming from. So, though we've had life groups in 2007, and life groups have been fantastic, and we'll have life groups again in 2008, in 2007, life groups developed community, and in 2008, they will continue to do that. But beyond community, we want to make sure that we create opportunities for you and for I to ground ourselves and grow. So, we have begun a process in the end of 2007 of establishing a growth path, a path at Mosaic Church. For lack of a better word, a discipleship program that we're going to put into place. And I hate the word program even, because it's not even a program. It's more like Alice in Wonderland and all the rabbit holes, and you go down a rabbit hole, and once you're down, you never come back up. I love it. Every door you open is a new house of cards. And what we want to create is a fluid place for you to step in and to begin to grow in new and fresh ways. We want to make sure in 2008 that if you're married, your marriage becomes better and stronger in 2008 than it's ever been because you're part of this church. We want to make sure that if you have kids, that the way that you parent becomes more and more effective in every way in 2008, and we want to create those places. We want to make sure that you and I know exactly what we believe and exactly why we believe it, so that our faith is not blind and not unstable. We want to make sure in 2008 that we know how to steward our lives in ways that lead into freedom and ways that lead into extraordinary and wonderful ways to impact the planet and the world around us. So we are going to, in the early part of 2008, we are going to put in front of you guys a place where you can jump into numerous arenas, where you can take that life you live out there and you can begin to bring into that life some fantastic foundational stuff to begin to ground yourself spiritually, but also to ground yourselves holistically in all the areas of your life. We want you to be able to take what you believe and why you believe it, and we want you to be able to apply it to your life. So we're going to have ways that you can learn how to study the Bible by yourself so that you don't have to listen to me, how to have a great devotional life, a great prayer life, how to work on some areas in your life where you can answer some of the questions that we all have all the time about those things, so that day after day, your relationship with God will begin to develop beyond 2007 and beyond what we've been able to accomplish in 2007. So that's one area, one arm of Mosaic Church in 2008 that will be part of our story for sure. We are going to make sure that if you want to be discipled, that you will be able to be discipled here in an effective manner that takes you into life in extraordinary ways. Beyond discipleship, on that level, we've also come to realize that in every chair out there, there's stuff in those lives, that's your lives, and in my life, that sometimes just gets beyond us. And we just need somebody to come alongside of us and to really walk with us through some things. We need a sounding board. We need somebody that can help us think through and talk through serious issues in our lives. Some of us, our marriages are struggling. Some of us, the way we're parenting is struggling. Some of us, personal things in our lives are struggling. Some of us, our faith, we just can't get a handle on. There's so many things that come in from side to side and try to rob us of stuff. And so we want to make sure in 2008 that we begin the process of putting into place something here at Mosaic Church that creates people that can walk with people through the more serious things of life. So we've already started in 2007 laying the foundations for developing a counseling ministry here that will be kind of full of life coaches and people that can come alongside you and walk with you through the different things in life that you're going to go through. And we can't wait to implement some of that. Missions. Missions is so exciting for us in 2008. It is one of my personal goals for this church that there will come a time where we are on the mission field internationally 365 days a year, that we don't miss a single day that we're not out there, that there's not a day I can't look you in the eye and say, Mosaic Church is out on the mission field right now doing work, impacting the planet for the sake of the gospel. So this year, we are going on several trips, as you know, to South Africa and Brazil and Uzbekistan and Republic of Georgia, and the youth are going on some trips, and there's all sorts of things going on as far as trips. But much bigger than that, in 2008, we are in the process of working on what missions really needs to look like here at Mosaic Church. That's just the beginning stuff. We want to figure out how we can get onto the mission field so that if you call this your home, you can go to bed every night laying in your bed going, guess what I share in? Guess what I share in? Right now, as I go to sleep, somewhere in the world, somebody's life is changing, and I'm part of it.
Woo!
Yeah, what a great night of sleep you'll get then, right? Because what does Paul say? Paul writes to the Philippians and to others saying, hey, thank you for sharing with me in the expansion of the gospel because you gave me this or prayed for me in that or came with me on that. Paul lays it out for us. When we lay in our beds and we're part of a local body and that local body is impacting the world, then we are impacting the world. And so we want to make sure that we develop that. And in 2008, we are in the process not only of being on the mission field, but developing a plan that will take us there 365 days a year. On top of missions, we have local work going on that we're very excited about. 2007, I just met with Mike Benn this last week, and he shared with me some of the things that we did in 2007 as a church. And you go, well, I don't know any of those things. If you are part of Mosaic Church, then you shared in this. You know, did you know that in 2007, we worked on several homes with Habitat for Humanity, building houses as a church. Do you know that we had over 300 kids get Christmas presents this year because of you guys stepping up to the plate and saying, we are a church and we're not going to see kids go to bed at night on Christmas Eve without Christmas presents. We saw hundreds of children all over the world get gifts because we did Operation Christmas Child this year. We worked in homes... nursing homes, sorry, went blank there for a second. We worked in nursing homes all throughout the year this year as the service group went out. We worked with homeless shelters. We helped families. We adopted families for Christmas. All of that happened because you guys sit in these chairs and because you share and you're part of Mosaic Church. You think that's cool? 2008, Mike and I started dreaming about 2008. Every single month in 2008, you should hear the stories of the things we're going to do as a church to impact the local community. I can't tell you any of it because I promised Mike that he'd get to do it in the next few weeks when we start recruiting for life groups and we want to tell you what you can be part of. So I'm not going to say a word, but I can tell you this, that there's going to be some fantastic ways that we're going to impact the local community in 2008. And if you call Mosaic your home, then you are part of that. Then you can go to bed at night going, you won't believe what I'm up to. I mean, I'm in Kenya, I'm in South Africa, I'm all over the world, I'm locally building a house right now, and someone's going to go, but you're here at home. You go, oh, I'm part of Mosaic Church. You don't understand, we're everywhere. I love it. So that's, in 2008, we're going to see some major impact occur in some of those areas. We're also working on a couple of other things that will come to fruition in 2008. We've been working through the Bible, right? Genesis to Revelation. So we started thinking about that as a tool beyond just you coming here on Sundays. And so we've been working on a DVD thing that we're going to be doing that we're going to film 42 episodes, about 10 to 15 minutes apiece, that walk you from Genesis to Revelation. And that will be available beginning in 2008. We're going to get a couple of the episodes done, and we're going to start a process so that you can go home, throw it on a DVD, watch it, or you can take it beyond that and say, hey, you want to go through the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, but in a way that's actually interesting and fun? Well, here we go. We're going to do this. So we've started working on that, and if you're part of Mosaic Church, then you're part of that project, and you're helping make that happen. Our students, we brought Tony on board. Just recently, he's been here like 2 months. You should see what Tony's been up to. I mean, he's been on every high school campus. He knows the principals. He knows the janitors. Those are the two key people that you've got to know on every campus. And he's been hanging out as a hall monitor, as a whatever else you can imagine. And our students are hanging out with Tony on their campuses during lunch. And they're bringing their friends to hang out with Tony. And Tony's getting some of the volunteer staff to get involved in that now. And I'll tell you, in 2008, what you're going to watch happen in our junior high and high school ministry is going to be unbelievable. We've got Brittany in our junior high ministry, and she is just stepping into being this person that the middle schoolers are just going, I want to be like her. And it's awesome to watch. And as Brittany steps in, she's going to take our middle schoolers into a world they can't begin to imagine. And as that happens, those students will impact their campuses and their campuses will change for Christ because we are Mosaic Church here. In children's ministry, you guys, anybody at the children's program this last week? Raise your hand if you watched the children's play. I mean, how was that? Our children's ministry, there's really not much to say about 2008 because they did it all in 2007. That's what you would think. But it's not true at all. They've been working on curriculums that we're going to write ourselves. They've already started writing curriculums. They're already using some stuff. And in 2008, we want to develop something so we can train our children up in a manner that speaks to where we are and where they are now here. We're coming up with new tools for you as parents to take home with you so that you can become an impactful force in your child's life throughout the week, so that it's not just 1 hour at church, but it's an entire week of spiritual impact in your children's lives. And then beyond our children's ministry and beyond all that, we've got Sundays. And our plans for Sundays are just getting better and better. I mean, Sean and I are sitting dreaming together. The other teams and the creative teams are dreaming together about ways to get all of you involved on Sundays, to get your faces up here, to hear your stories. We've got ways to walk through this year in an extraordinary way. And one of the things that I dream about this year for this church as a pastor from this stage is to help you take your entire life as we have the discipleship program in place, but even on Sundays, to inspire you to steward your lives in a manner worthy of the gospel this year. To look at your whole life and go, what am I called to here in the church? What am I called to outside the church? And how am I going to structure my life so that that calling becomes a reality in the way that I live, and that I can walk out into this world and I can be an extraordinary person making an extraordinary impact in the little things that I do every day for the sake of Christ. And we are going to walk through the Bible this year from the end of Judges, where we are now, as far as we can get in 1 year. I was looking back at our podcast, and the Imagine that I preached last December 31st about 2007 is on there. And actually a few weeks before that is when we started the journey. And I remember distinctly thinking, boy, I wonder if I'll be done with this by Easter. And so here we are in entering 2008, and we've got all the way to Judges. Woo! So I have no idea how far we'll get in 2008, but it's going to be a wild ride because we're going into the Minor Prophets, and it's going to be crazy. And so we're going to walk our way through the Bible, but while we're doing that, we're going to learn to steward our lives in a fantastic way. So this year, if you are part of Mosaic Church, those are just a few little places that we have already established a foundation to begin to build our story on. There are other things I can't even tell you about because we're just dreaming them right now. We haven't even started laying foundation for them. Those are just the things we've already laid foundation for. But in 2008, we'll be laying foundation for numerous other things that we hope to launch in 2009. We want to plant churches. In 2008, we're going to start training up people to be a team for church planting. And we hope that in 2009, early part of 2009, we can plant our very first church and jump out and say, now we're making more churches to impact the world in bigger ways. I mean, there's so many things that we are ready to jump into in 2008. And you and I, as we stand shoulder to shoulder together, and as we look at this church and go, there is absolutely no way that this church's four wheels can't lift off the ground, we're going to step back and say, boy, we can fly. There's no doubt about it. All I need is for one of us, for two of us, maybe three of us, just to shout out, all right, wings out, baby! And when we shout wings out, I'm going to push that button, and we're going to launch into 2008, and those four wheels are going to come off the ground, and it's going to get really unstable at times, and it's going to feel really shaky at times, and you're going to go, whoa, where's this church going? Oh, man, what is it? And then we're going to realize, well, that's what happens when you fly. You got to kind of get a handle on things and get stable. And then we're going to fly into 2008, and together we are going to sit in that car and close our eyes and look beyond the normal, beyond the ordinary, and a trip to the grocery store is going to turn into a great adventure. And that's what 2008 is going to look like for us. 2008 is going to be a great adventure. But you know what? Despite the fact that 2008 is going to be a great adventure for our church, God is interested in more than our church. God is interested in more than Mosaic Church. God is interested in the thousands of churches all over this planet that are working hard to dream their dreams for 2008 and play the role that they ought to play in the big tapestry that God is putting together. But God is also concerned about your life. Your individual life this next year. And God wants you to imagine just as much as He wants us to imagine together. This church is not the only thing that can have a wild ride this next year. Your life, you were meant to fly. You were created to fly. You were created to have an extraordinary and wonderful life. Humanity, when God created us in the Garden of Eden, He created us to live in paradise. And unfortunately for many of us, we've just had our wings clipped because of sin entering into this world. But when you come to Christ, one of the things that God does is He comes back to you and He says, oh, let me tell you something. I got news for you. If you follow me, if you trust in me, then you can fly. Think your wheels are on the ground now? Forget about it. Listen to this. I want to read you something. You don't even have to turn there this morning, but I'm going to read to you from Isaiah chapter 40. I could read it out of the Bible, but I printed it out, so I don't want to waste the paper. So I'll just read it off this. Here we go. Ready? Isaiah chapter 40. This is what it says. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary, and He increases the power of the weak. Welcome to the weary and the weak right here. Okay, my son, 7 times. Come on, hello. Hello! Weary and weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. And what does it say? They will soar on wings like eagles. See, I told you the Bible said we could fly. I meant it. We will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. See, the Bible tells us that when we place our faith in Christ and we hope on the Lord in 2008 as a church, if we say our hope is in Christ, not in our own stuff and our own resources and our own dreams, but in Christ and in what He's going to do, then suddenly we begin to feel our feet lift off the ground and we go, oh, things are going to get really crazy. And if you as an individual say 2008, outside of the circumstances that I cannot possibly know are coming, outside of the things I cannot possibly see, outside of the invisible, outside of the impossible, there is a God who lives outside of all of that. And He says, if you hope in me, then we will soar like eagles over all that stuff. It'll come, but it won't do what you think it'll do. It will not suck the wind out of you. It will not bring you down. It will not disappoint, because you will have your faith and trust and hope in me. And in 2008, as you enter in tonight, as you look at this year, individually, as a husband, as a wife, as a mother, as a father, as a friend, as a coworker, as a Christ follower, wherever you are on your journey, as you look at your life, ask yourself this question. God, what is it going to mean for me to place my hope in you and you alone this year, and to walk into this year with great anticipation that as long as my hope is in you, that come anything into my life, I will fly like an eagle soaring on the wind because I trust in you. See, because the reality is this. We have a brand new, fresh year ahead of us. And it's waiting. It's, at least for me, it's shouting out like, are you ready? Come on, jump, baby. And I'm excited. But I know, just like my experience last night, that on day 7 or day 12 or day 14 or February or March or May or July, somewhere, Cole's going to wake up 7 times. See, somewhere a circumstance is going to come into my life and it's going to take me from the side and it's going to wipe my feet out from under me, and I'm going to feel like I'm falling to the ground again, and I'm going to feel like all those dreams, all those visions were nothing. They were just imagination. And then God's going to whisper to me and say, oh, shh, wait, Reno, you don't get it. Have you not heard? Do you not know? The Lord is the everlasting God, and His wisdom, His knowledge is beyond anything you can ever begin to imagine. And He's going to whisper and say, you know, just keep your hope in me, because listen, disappointment can suck the wind out of your sails, but it doesn't have to. In 2008, disappointment can be as purposeful in your life as the wonder that comes with great success from our standpoint. Because in James chapter 1, in verse 2, this is what God says. And this is just one place, but He says it in other ways. Listen to this. He says, dear friends, dear brothers, dear Christ followers, dear Mosaic Church, Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that it is the testing of your faith that develops perseverance. And do you know what you need perseverance for? Perseverance must finish its work in your life so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. I look into 2008. I look at the great moments. I look at the disappointing moments. I look at Cole sleeping through the night. Oh. I look at Cole waking up 7 times. Oh. Because I know that the God I serve is as purposeful in disappointments as he is in wonderful moments. See, this morning when I woke up and I'm sitting downstairs in my playroom, and Cole is running around the playroom and he's breaking things, and I'm sitting there at 6:30 in the morning and I think to myself, God, once again, you confuse me. I mean, I was excited about this morning. I was ready for this morning. I was ready to walk everyone into wonder. And now I'm just depressed. And God whispers to me and says, Renaud, do you think Cole woke up by accident 7 times last night? I woke him up. Boy, that ticked me off. It's like, what? What the one night? I did what? What? And God whispers to my heart, do you know that today when you preach about all your wonderful things and everyone's all inspired and they can't wait to run out there, on January 3rd, someone in this church is going to face great disappointment. In May, someone's going to run into a circumstance that's going to wipe them off their feet. In July, someone is going to have their baby wake up 7 times. And if you don't speak to those hearts now and remind them that it's okay already, that they don't have to worry if things get tough in 2008, because that makes it as great a year as if things get great in 2008, then you're going to miss half of what your people need to know. And I sat there and thought to myself, man, God, seriously, couldn't you have figured out some other way to tell me this stuff? And God smiles and says, probably, but it was so much fun to see you wake up the 6th time. God and I, we're friends like that. So here's the thing, right? See, even here I sit and realize that in a moment's notice, God is always ready to say, oh, the disappointing moments in life are as purposeful as the ones that make you soar, at least make you feel like you soar. Because often it is the disappointments that are actually launching you out into the wind. There's a little video that I recently found on YouTube, and it sits in my head every single day. Every day I wake up and I think about this little video. Because this video captured my imagination like few ever have. Because this video speaks to one thing. It speaks to the very message I hope you leave with today as you leave these doors. As you think about Isaiah, and you think about James, and you think about flying. This message says this. Anyone can fly. Anyone can fly. Sometimes you just have to work really hard to figure out a way to make flying a reality. Sometimes you just have to trust that God takes you through long, hard roads to get you to the place where you can jump and fly. And you have to enjoy the hard as much as you enjoy the great, because they're both part of God's plan. Kiwi birds can't fly, except for this one. Take a look. Thank you. it is just an animation. It didn't really die, for those of you that feel sad. But I'd be willing to pay that kind of price if I could be the one Kiwi bird in history that could honestly look at people and say, "You don't understand. I lived a long, good life. And at the end of it, I flew." Can you imagine how long it took that bird to nail every one of those trees to the side of that cliff? Can you imagine how much effort it took to drag every tree up with that rope? Can you imagine how many years must have been years where he went, "Well, this ain't a year full of dreams." But he was completely wrong if he ever thought that. Because every year that passed was another tree nailed to another cliff, ready to get him to the point where God could say, "All right, it's time. Wings out! Whew!" And you can experience something nobody else does. You can fly. I hope with all my heart, as a church this year, that we will come to the end of 2008 and we will look at each other with a smile on our face and say, "Yes, we nailed a lot of trees to a lot of cliffs. Yes, we worked very hard together. Yes, we sweat blood. Yes, some of us struggled along the way. But at the end of the year, when it was all said and done, we look at each other and we go, but we flew this year. We flew into 2008, wings out, wind blowing, head out of the sunroof, with the kids screaming in the back, squealing in the back as we went, here we go." And I pray that for your life this year, come great moments or really hard ones, that you too will be able to say at the end of the year, "In 2008, I went in placing my hope in God, and I came out soaring on wings like eagles." Because that is something we can do because we're Christ followers. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your incredible promises to us. The promise that you come into our lives, weak as they are, strained as they are, weary as they are, and you bring new strength, and you bring fresh vision, and you open our world up to a calling that takes us beyond ourselves into a world that is your kingdom. And you call us out to say, "Come follow me, for my burden is light. My yoke is easy." God, as we walk into the circumstances of 2008 as a church, as we walk into the circumstances of 2008 as individuals, would you open our eyes and remind us, if we have not heard and if we do not know, that you are the everlasting God, wisdom itself, knowledge itself, and that your intentional plans are unfolding in our lives as we speak. May you walk us into 2008 with a great hope in you, so that we can soar on wings like eagles. We love you, Jesus. We pray these things for your sake. Amen.